We're still on Easter Sunday. This passage takes place in the evening of that first Easter Sunday. And there are the disciples gathered in a locked room, frightened, confused. They'd heard the story from the women, that from the angel, that Jesus was risen, he's not here. Peter and John had been to the tomb and they'd seen empty. We'd had other encounters of Mary meeting Jesus in the garden, thinking he was a gardener. And then and the Emmaus story as well is tied up with this, or that might have, we're not quite sure when that actually fits in with this. But certainly this is a Sunday evening where they were still absolutely scared to death, confused, no idea what was going on. And Jesus comes to them. That our house was locked for fear of the Jews. They thought they were going to be next. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." But before we get on to what he said, that he came and stood among them. You and I need to realise that that's what God does all the time. It's difficult sometimes to get over the idea of God being out there somewhere, isn't it? You know, that this is a mighty God out there and distant and far away and the otherness of God. And yet, here we have Jesus. The first thing he does is he comes and stands with, among his followers. And Jesus still does that. That's still God's first response to you and me. He wants to stand with you. He's not against you, he's not above you, he's not over you, he is with you. Now I find that wonderfully reassuring. In my worst days, and this was a bad day, these guys were scared, their faith was broken and in tatters. The man they'd followed and thought was the one they'd seen brutally murdered. These strange stories from the women about an empty grave. What are you to make of that? They were not in a good place. And what does God do? He comes and he stands with them. And I want to say that to you. If you're in a bad place, know this. God is going to come and stand with you. You might not always see him or feel him. Quite the opposite. God might seem a million miles away. But I am convinced, friends, that this is God's first response. To come and to stand with us. And there's certain things that Jesus brings when he comes to stand with his friends. He said, "Peace." Peace. They were scared. They were confused. What did they need? Peace. And that's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful things about having a God who knows all things, that he knows what we need and when we need it. And they needed peace. And often, when we are most troubled, God comes and stands with us and brings peace. Now then, we need to kind of distance ourselves a little bit from this. Isn't peace and quiet. This isn't the delusion of things are going to be all right. No, they were still in fear for their lives. Their lives were still under threat. But what God is able to do, that in the midst of life, the realities of life, see, the idea that faith is some kind of delusion, I never got that. I just don't understand where that comes from, because faith actually interacts with the realities, with the hard realities of difficult life, of tough choices, of hard working days, of grief, of loss, of disappointment, of those hopes, those things you aspired for, failing and falling apart. And we've all been there, haven't we, where we experience this sense of loss and grief and bewilderment sometimes. Sometimes it can make us bitter or angry or resentful. And this is where God wants to stand with us and say, "I've got peace." It's not there, it'll be all right, peace. But it's a piece of knowing that we have somebody with us that cares. Who's not going to disappear. Who will travel the whole journey with us. That's peace. See, I've no interest in a God who's going to be like a lucky rabbit's foot so that nothing bad will happen to me, because I know that isn't real. Bad things will happen, as will good things. There'll be tremendous laughter and joy. You know, that kind of laughter, tears run down your face and your belly aches. And God's going to be with me in them. But there'll also be those days when I think, I don't want to go on. What is the point? And in those days, that's where faith needs to be real, where God's going to stand with me and with you and say, peace. After this, he showed them his hands and his side, the scars. The real world. This wasn't some kind of ghost, or it wasn't some kind of collective, what's the word that you use, hysteria. Here it is, look, it says here. It's interesting that Thomas, who wasn't here, when he does hear that, says, well, unless I see his hands and his side, I'm not going to believe. He wanted that. And this is a wonderful thing about the faith that we have. It's based in a real person, in real time and space. It's relational. God wants you to know who he is and that he's there for you. He goes on. He says again, peace be with you. As a father sent me, so I send you. He then gives them a purpose. I don't often write sermons that all start, points all with the same letter. But I've got one this morning. It just happened that way. Because we've got peace and now we've purpose. We're going to come and talk about power in a moment. But purpose. Jesus says to you, as the Father sent me, now I send you. It seems a little bit harsh, doesn't it? That here they are, frightened to death, hiding away behind locked doors, and Jesus says, hey, I've got a job for you to do. But I have found that often that is what people need when they're in a tough place. They need something to do. They need to feel they still have a purpose. And Jesus gives them that. A purpose that flows from heaven. From God the Father himself. As he sent me, so I send you. Jesus, I'm going to actually invite you now to share in the mission that the Father trusted to me. I'm now trusting that to you. And that continues. We share in that divine mission. We I did a series last year, about Missio Dei, God's mission. And God says, come and share with me. Come and be part of this with me. Come and change the world with me. Come and let people know that they are loved, that they have value and worth, even if others would judge them differently. Come with me and see what we can do to build families. And to get alongside people who are isolated and lonely. Those people who are oppressed by powers beyond them. Some human, some spiritual. Come and share in this work of building a kingdom which reflects the love and the mercy of God. I send you, says Jesus. And you and I, friends, stand in that line of faithful disciples who are sent by Jesus to be about the Father's work. The faith we hold is given to us to give away. It's not given to us to hang on to. Now, the fact that my faith actually does help me and make my life better is brilliant. But that's not the first reason why God gave it to me. He said, I'm giving this to you, John, so you can pass it on. Others need to know this good news, that they are loved, that there is the possibility of a new beginning, that there's forgiveness, that life does have meaning and purpose. I was watching breakfast TV this morning. They had the review of the papers. You might have seen it. And one of the articles they picked up was Ron Williams' article about a post-Christian Britain. I don't know if any of you saw that. And the Jenny Bond was one, and Jill Cooper, is it? Another two female journalists. Anyway, Jenny Bond, who was a royal, was a royal correspondent for years, isn't she? And talking about this. And she said with such assurance, I'm an atheist. And I thought, wow, that's a lot of faith to publicly state there is no God. They're on national TV. What evidence has she got for that, I wondered. Now, what do you base that assured profession of non-faith? And it staggers me at times that people, and I'm going to think about, well, where does she go when the chips are down? How does she face the end of her days or the loss of those she loves? And it just made me think, thank God that I'm not. That I have a hope. That I have assurance. That the meaning of life isn't just for this life. That there will come a day, and we sang about that this morning, when the things that are crooked and twisted and spoilt will be made whole. That the injustices that we wrestle with now and seem to see no end of will be resolved. When all those unseen and unrewarded kindnesses will be recognised, and God says, well done. That's part of our purpose, friends, to live like that and to enable others to live like that. Your life means something. Your acts of kindness have eternal significance. Your laughing with those who laugh and crying with those who cry resonates into the eternal realm, friends. Nothing is wasted. We have a purpose. The Father gives that to the Son. The Son trusts that to us. Now, it will look different. You've got to work that out yourself in your life and my life. It will be different, but how good to know that this life is not just an accident. And finally, when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now then, that's a powerful statement, because if you go right back to Genesis and the account of the creation, the Hebrew word for God spoke is actually God breathed. The literal sense in the Hebrew of creation is that God breathed the universe into existence. As the ruach, which is the Hebrew word, a wonderful word, that ruach. You sense it flowing out from God. And the same sense here that Jesus breathes, that ruach, that creative energy of God, is imparted to the disciples, these broken, frightened men. Receive the Holy Spirit, receive God's power. Now, this was just a foretaste of what was about to come at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came like a rushing wind and flames of fire, and it turned the world upside down. But for now, Jesus says, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, it's nice to have Pentecost moments where you feel really supercharged, but there's also a lot of times when you just need a bit of help, isn't there? It's hard to live there, but it's sometimes nice just to think, God, help me in this difficult moment. Help me. I've got to get up and go to work today, and I really don't want to. Help me now. The kids are playing up, and I'm exhausted. Those are the moments when I believe Jesus will breathe the Holy Spirit into our lives. Ordinary moments. When we're faced with a temptation, maybe to tell a half-truth to cover our own backside. When we can feel our temper rising and thinking, I'm going to lose it here. It's in those moments when I believe Jesus is able to breathe. And it's just little things like where you'll count to 10. You take a couple of deep breaths. You'll walk away from a situation. You'll think, no, it's not worth it. Or you think, yes, it is worth it, and I'll make that extra effort. I'll make myself vulnerable. And it's, you see, I think sometimes we mistakenly think the work of the Holy Spirit is kind of big stuff. When most of the time it isn't. It's ordinary. It's every day. It's the moment by moment. And this is the whole idea of God being alongside of us. He's in the moment. And I don't know about you, but I would not want it any other way. I don't want a God just sat to be in heaven. What good is that to me when I'm struggling with my daily routine? What good is that to me when my family are needing my help and I haven't a clue what to say? What good is that to me when I'm faced with a job I just don't want to do, but it has to be done? No, that's when I need a God who's actually there, right by my side, breathing life into my tired spirit, into my confused mind. And I am convinced, friends, that is how this faith of ours works in the moments of each day. Now, this might be for some of us, who might visit here this morning, this might be a new idea that, well, if the word has got, he's up there somewhere. Well, the good news is, he's right here. And he's right here for you. Because you're loved. Peace, purpose, power. Right now, right in this moment, God makes them available to every single one of us. He doesn't have favourites. Any who receive. So receive. Say yes to God. Not just here in church, but when that Monday morning feeling comes, or whatever challenge it is you face, know God's peace, purpose and power. He's there for you. He's there with you.